Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us on this Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that this has been a special weekend for you. I hope you've been able to spend some time with people that you love, whether that's on the phone or by Zoom or maybe even in person. I hope you've been able to reflect on God's goodness to us this year. Yes, 2020 was a crazy year, but even in the middle of craziness, God shows up, right? And he does so much for us, and he gives so much to all of us, and we have so much to be grateful for, and it's so good to know to whom we are grateful. And I hope this has been a weekend of reflection for you that way. We're going to continue to reflect on God's goodness today. We're going to do it through a really inspiring story about how God can use you in the lives of people across the planet, how God can use you to impact other people for eternity. And I hope this is a really fun and inspirational morning for you. I hope this content is helpful for you, and maybe you'd even want to share it with a friend. But we're so grateful that you would join us today. And before we move into today's content, I want you to know what our Christmas plans are, because I am so excited for Christmas. It all starts next Sunday with a series that we're kicking off with Andy Stanley. It's a three-part Christmas series that will lead us up to Christmas Eve. And we're super excited about Christmas Eve because we're going to have our first ever outdoor Christmas Eve celebration. It's a Christmas for St. John's. It's going to be on the front patio of Liberty Pines Academy on December 24th at 5:30 p.m. And we hope you'll join us. We hope you'll bring all of your friends and your family and your neighbors. And if you're super cautious, we're doing this outside just for you. We hope you'll come. We hope you'll bring your camping chairs and you can sit as close as you like or as far away as you like. It's all right. We'll turn the music up loud so you can hear it all. But we'd love for you to be there and to join us as we celebrate Christmas and all that God has given us. And we're going to cap off the evening with some cookies and some Kilwins hot chocolate. So don't miss it.
Doctor, in truth, I never had that much interest in medicine. I had the grades, and Mum and Dad really encouraged me to go for it, and everyone says, don't do medicine because your parents tell you to do it. I was that person. I think my parents wanted me to have a good living so I could have a nice middle-class life and be able to buy nice things and have nice holidays and be secure and comfortable. I didn't want that. No, I've never wanted that.
Around when I was about 21, or 20 maybe even, I was sort of halfway through university and I was starting to think, what, you know, really I need to decide now, what am I going to do with my life? I'm doing this engineering degree, but what am I going to do? How am I going to use this? I was thinking, well, maybe I should try and do something that isn't going to be done if I don't do it.
When I was growing up, our parents would get us together and they would read to us from the Bible and missionary stories. And these stories were just incredible adventures. Men and women would sacrifice everything, give up all their wealth, get on a boat, travel for 6 months, travel across the seas to share the gospel. Entire communities and peoples and nations were transformed as a result. And growing up, I just thought, I want to be like those people. Those people, they haven't just found something worth dying for. They seem to have discovered the secret of living as well. Real, incredible, purposeful lives. And I thought, that's what I want. When I was 18 years old, and my gran said to me, there's this Indian missionary guy speaking at our church tonight, small village church just outside of Cambridge. Do you want to come along? And I said, well, I've got nothing better to do tonight, okay. So I get there, go into this tiny little church, but there he was, telling all these stories of what the missionaries in India were getting up to, how they were risking their lives, traveling, facing adversity, but winning people, changing communities. And I said, hey, this sounds like the stories I had read to me growing up. I thought people like these didn't exist anymore. I thought they were locked away 100 years ago. So when Dad said, look, does anyone want to come and see this? I said, boy, are you kidding me? I've spent my whole life wanting to meet people like these and learn from them. 6 months later, I got on a plane and I traveled to India. I met with Das and we traveled around the mission fields.
day, a pastor walked into our village and he came and knocked at my door. And I was sick that day. My sister is struggling to breathe. This man of God, giving gospel, says Jesus is the healer. Mama opened the door, took the leaflet and said, Jesus is the healer? No way. Why my children are like this? Why all this problem here? Is it really true? He said, yes, it is. It is true. And she said, I don't know. Then you show me, is it true? So he said, can I come in? She said, yes. So I was sick and bedridden on the floor. My sister is struggling to breathe. So he shared the gospel and asked, can I pray for them? He said, oh, of course. He prayed. My sister got instant healing and I was healed. And then I realized I need this Jesus. I went to Bangalore to do my studies. We, the students of the college, went to north part of the country. And it's amazed me to see thousands and thousands of villages do not know Christ. Pepsi is there. Coca-Cola reached. No Jesus.
We visited a village and the missionary, he painted such a bleak story about them. He said, look, no one will employ these tribal people because they're so reviled. So the men rely on begging. The women rely on prostitution. This is all that they have. You know, it sounded pretty bleak. They're the people whom Hinduism left behind. They worship spirits, you know, it's a real primitive level. And to the rest of Indian people, you know, they are worse than the bottom rung of the caste system. They're worse than the untouchables because they're not even within that system. I remember going to see this village and it was just not at all what was described. I said to this Indian missionary, are these the same people? And most of the village surged out to meet and greet us and they were singing and they were praising. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And the missionary explained to us, he said, well, we came and we shared the gospel with them and they were just so excited to hear it. They came to faith really fast. Not just that, we taught them to start washing themselves, we helped them buy some new clothes, taught them some basic things. Suddenly these people went for work and they got jobs because the surrounding people didn't realize they were from that same tribe. They were unrecognizable. So we saw these people had come to know Jesus, but their whole community and social situation had been transformed as well. Five years previously, the gospel had never come to this place. And there I was worshiping with the church there. And I just thought, this is history in the making. A sociologist may say this is nothing, this is a tiny church in a tiny village in the middle of nowhere, but if that place has never had the gospel come to it, and now there's a church there, that's history in the making. So I said to myself, right, scrap all what my plans were because they're rubbish. I want to be a part of what's going on here. And I said, look, Das, this is amazing. How can I help? So Das said, well, the tragic thing is that a lot of these people aren't getting into action because their own churches are too poor to send them. And I said, what? You mean this is the coolest thing I've ever seen and it's not happening because of a shortage of money? I mean, money is the one thing our church really does have. That's the one thing I can easily give. This isn't happening for money. So I said, yeah, Das, how much do these guys need? He said, well, in your terms, about £50 a month. £50 a month, I mean, that's nothing. I could go out with a friend, both get a meal, both get a couple of drinks, that's £50 right there. Or new pair of shoes, £50, or fancy phone contract, £50. The thought that someone isn't being sent to an unreached village to plant a church for that much money, that's madness, that's crazy. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. At that point in time, I just said, right, let's try and ramp up this level of sacrificial living because every £10 I can save is a fifth of a missionary's monthly support in India. That's amazing. I went to Cardiff. I found the cheapest halls of residence I could live in. I bought all the cheapest food I could. I refused to buy any new clothes whatsoever. I mean, I just went completely overboard, completely over the top. It was okay for my first year of uni because my clothes were there and they started to last for a year. But by second year, it was a disaster. I had these shoes which were falling apart. They had a big hole in the bottom, so I got some duct tape and I just wrapped it round and round, taped them up. To be honest, that worked quite well, so long as it was dry. But unfortunately, I was in Cardiff, I was in Wales, and it rains a lot. And every time it was wet, the moisture would just seep up through this hole and percolate up into my feet. I had such wet feet. It was a nightmare. I was lucky I didn't get trench foot or something. I wanted to go and be a missionary myself, but actually what the unreached need is my financial empowerment to support Indigenous workers. India motivates my work as a doctor. The other day, I was offered to do shift, and they said, yeah, we can pay you £50 an hour. So I said, well, that means if I do 12 hours, that's £600. In a night, I've just paid for a missionary for a year. I mean, that's incredible.
The need in the country is so great. The answer is send missionaries. But the problem is we don't have missionaries to go. Solution is to train young people, place them into those mission fields so that gospel will be preached, churches will be established. That made me to think about starting this training center.
We went to the training center, and what we realized was that all the lads at the training center, they were from the newly planted churches and the previously unreached villages. And this was when God really started to speak to us, because we said, this is a model which can replicate, it can scale. If you can send someone to where the gospel's never been and not just plant a church, but raise up new leaders, you can multiply, you can be unstoppable. That was when God spoke to us and we had the vision for 500,000 churches. That was the goal. We don't think anyone should be without access to the gospel, and to have access to the gospel, they need to have access to the church. So that's our vision. 500,000 churches, a church in every village in India. Partnering with my brother in this mission has just been such an amazing thing. We're fighting for something together, and he's just been the greatest blessing in that.
He was talking about these guys in India and about the stuff that's going on, and he's, you know, I'm a business guy, I like numbers, and he was talking to me about numbers. And I started saying, that's really amazing. And after a while, I fell into this idea that maybe one of the big gifts that I've been given, which most people don't like to talk about, this is Britain, we'd hate to talk about money, maybe one of the big gifts that was given was access to wealth. And then the idea was simple, it was just earn money, give it away, don't keep it. And a lot of people thought this was a crazy idea. You know, I thought it was a good thing for a long time, and then I started helping out. That was when I sort of started getting passionate about it and saying, well, actually, this is really important. And this is something that, you know, we should be doing, and actually we shouldn't just be saying, let someone else do it. It turns out that my skills as an entrepreneur are very useful for advancing the kingdom.
The mission was having a very slow progress, and at this stage, we have missionaries working in 600 plus villages, and as a mission, we baptized more than 6,000 people, and more than 13,000 people are coming to these churches. I strongly believe our partnership together is broadening the horizons. Now we look back and say, thank you, Jesus, for making them come here to India.
It's not just about the giving. Yes, the giving is so important, and I think that is the crucial need, but even more than that, there is this incredible relational aspect, and that's a great treasure that I've discovered and learned. Dash has been there when in some of my darkest moments, and he has discipled me and taught me so many great things. And it's been wonderful to hear from him how, you know, we're such young men, how we've been able to be there and be a rock of encouragement to him and give him a lot of wisdom which he wouldn't have had otherwise. And I would never have dreamed at the onset that that was the case.
I plead unto you in the name of Jesus, if you haven't accepted Jesus in your life, this hour is your hour.
We were there and Das was in the water baptizing some of the believers, and he was there just speaking truth, speaking the gospel. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe that you have need of a savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, and that through him you can be forgiven, and that the Holy Spirit will come and indwell with you, and that Jesus Christ will come back and then you will reign with him forever and ever? There he was speaking the gospel, and their people were joyfully hearing it. And that incredible action of just being submerged underwater and then coming back up, a new creation. And Das said, "We've baptized a few people. Does anyone more want to be baptized?" And people came forward. "Yes, I do. I want this for myself." And I saw that and I thought, this is what it's all about. The fruit which we're interested in is people coming to know Jesus. It's about people. People encountering Jesus, having their life transformed forever and living forever with him. They say medicine is an amazing thing because you have the chance to save lives. But the truth is, doctors don't save any lives. All of our patients still die. All we're doing on our best days is postponing the inevitable, is putting death off. But the gospel really can save lives. So the same reason that people think medicine's amazing, they should be even more excited about the gospel, because that can save someone's life forever and ever and ever.
What a great story. How one person responded to the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart and prompting them and responding to that. And then through his generosity, so many people are being led into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And I believe that God wants to do that through you as well. That there are people out there that God specifically wants to be impacted by your generosity, by the experience and the talent and the skill set that God's given you, the vocation that you're a part of, whatever your day job is, that you can channel that, you can funnel that through your generosity to impact other people for all of eternity. What an amazing thought. And someday you might meet people in heaven for the very first time that will thank you for your generosity because it has impacted them. In fact, I believe this is already happening. I think it's happening through the ways that you have been generous to Access Church over the last year, or for many of us, years and years and years. But about 1 year ago, we decided to kind of turn up the volume on our generosity at Access Church. We said, you know what? We don't know how big the cup is that God has called us to fill, but we do know that we each have a thimble, and that God has filled our thimble, and it's not our responsibility to fill the cup of need, but it is our responsibility to empty that thimble. And so last fall, many of us made a decision that has led Access Church to be more generous in 2020 than we have ever been. That we've been able to give away over $25,000 to local organizations like the Homeless Coalition and Habitat for Humanity. You built a house for a single mom and her kids right here in St. Johns County. You gave money to 6-8 Ministries in Costa Rica, which is doing incredible work with the poorest of the poor. And they are just, man, they're doing such good stuff down there. And you are a part of it. And this is all because some of us at Access Church have chosen to be incredibly generous in 2020. Stephanie and I are given more in 2020 than we've ever given in our lives. And many of you have joined us in that journey. It's a little bit of a risk, but it's also a really fun adventure to step out and to say, God, this scares us a little bit to give this much, but it's going to lead us to trust you more than we've ever trusted you for our own financial well-being. But we're also going to be a part of what you're doing in some really cool ways in our community, in this county, and around the world. And we just want to say thank you to those of us who have been a part of that this last year. If you want to jump on board, we would love to have you join us. You can go to itspersonal.church. That's itspersonal.church, and you can learn more about what it would look like to give through Access Church. Stephanie and I give to Access Church because we are so grateful for all that Access Church has done for us. Honestly, our marriage is better, our parenting is better, our relationship with Jesus is better. We feel like Access Church is the best place in this community where we can bring friends who don't yet have a relationship with God to understand that they can belong before they believe as their relationship with God begins to grow. We're so grateful for Access Church. Our kids are the men and women that they are today because your investment in our family, and we are so grateful. And so Access Church is the single biggest financial priority for our family because we give out of gratitude. We also give because we can't imagine a more important need than for people to have a growing personal relationship with their Heavenly Father. I don't know how people have made it through this last year, honestly, without a relationship with their Heavenly Father. We think it's the most important, most incredible, most urgent need in anyone's life. And we see the way that Access Church is leading people to know Him in a personal way. And we just want to be a part of that. And so we funnel our resources that way. We'd love for you to join us. But at the same time, you might have other organizations that you're grateful for. You might have other organizations that have really impacted your life. And this might be the time for you to turn and begin to give to those organizations. You might have other causes that break your heart. And I want you to give from a broken heart. I want you to give from a grateful heart. As you reflect on all that you're grateful for this weekend, what would it look like for you to take a priority percentage of your income and begin to give that back to God? If you've never done that before, start with a smaller percentage, you know, start with 5% and just start giving a priority percentage back to God. Maybe you're already given 10%, and maybe you've been given 10% for a long, long time. This might be time for you to turn it up, to take a step, to risk a little bit more, to go to 11 or 12 or 15%, I don't know, 20%. Start giving to a level where you say, okay, God, this scares me a little bit, but I'm going to give more so that I can see you do more in the lives of other people. This is what we would love for you. And again, if you want to join us, go to itspersonal.church, learn more about that. But we just want to inspire you today with a story of generosity and to see how one person's generosity can impact people a continent away. And as they're impacted, they turn around and impact hundreds and hundreds more. Who knows who's waiting for your generous giving to change their lives forever? Who knows what kind of impact you can have around the world? Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. And again, don't miss next week as we kick off a new series with Andy Stanley. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for all of your generosity toward us. And we know that as we give, we're not giving to you. We're just giving back to you out of what you've already given us, because everything we have belongs to you. Everything we have came from you. And so, God, I just pray that you would help those of us who are maybe a little bit afraid to give, who are kind of holding on tightly to the things in our control. Remind us, God, that it's not ours anyway. We're just managing it for a short period of time. Help us to open our grip and to release and to give back to you with open hands from all that you've given to us. And God, I pray too that you would help those stories of life change make their way back to us so that we could be inspired by the ways that you've used our generosity in the lives of other people. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.